see everybody today. Good to be out in the Lord's house. And thankful that we have the opportunity to be here one more time. We're missing some folks, seems like, today. Brother Stephen and I were talking about it. I know the wrestling team's out of town, and that cuts down a little bit. We have several comes with the wrestling team, Brother John Mark, and so we're thankful for that. We miss them, and we've got some sick and missing and things like that, but I'm thankful to be here today. It's already been a blessing. I've enjoyed the choir, enjoyed the Sunday school lesson, and Brother Stephen didn't have any announcements. I don't have anything specific to mention as far as announcements are concerned, except no service tonight. It's the first Sunday night, so no service tonight, and then let's remember our service on Wednesday night at 7. We're in the book of Galatians, and so we are thankful to be here today. Good to see each and every one. Don't think we have any first-time visitors or anything, but we are glad to see you here in the Lord's house today. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Colossians, and Colossians chapter number 2. And we're going to read a few verses over there, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And so I'll give you just a moment to find that, the book of Colossians chapter number 2. Brother Tim texted me also and asked us to pray for him. He's preaching at Poplar Grove today, so that family is away, but I know he would appreciate our prayers. So the book of Colossians chapter number 2, and we're going to start reading in verse number 8 down through verse number 10, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And I ask your prayers today that the Lord would help us and speak to all of our hearts and do what he'd like to for us and in us today. But the Bible says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Let's pray. Lord, we come today, and I am thankful to be here, and I'm thankful for the many blessings that you've given to us, and Lord, for your word. And I pray and I ask today that, Lord, you would speak to us from your word. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would have liberty this morning. The word of the Lord would go forth with power. I feel very weak and unable in and of myself, because I know that spiritually I cannot do anything for anybody. Lord, I can't bless myself today, let alone be a blessing to anybody else. We really need your power. We need your presence. We need the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and our lives today, and I pray for that. I pray for liberty as I stand and try to preach your word today. I pray that you would speak to our hearts, and I pray you'd change us, and I pray you'd help us for your honor and your glory. Help us to get everything that's going on outside in our world, outside in our jobs, in our lives, in our family. Help us, Lord, to just put all those things aside this morning, and to be able to focus and think about what the Word of God says. So help us and have your way, and we'll thank you for everything you do. Lord, I ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. So I want us to go back this morning in verse number 10, and what I'm really wanting to focus on today is actually just in the first part of this verse, where the Bible says, "And ye are complete in him." The whole verse says, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." And I actually got to thinking about this even last Sunday morning, and I don't know exactly what led me to start thinking about it, but that little phrase, "ye are complete in him." Complete is a word that we use quite often. We use it probably every week, maybe even several times throughout the week. I'm sure that everybody knows what the word complete means. If your mom asked you, or your dad, or your teacher at school, if they said, "Did you complete your homework?" Well, you would know what they meant. They didn't mean, "Did you start on it?" or "Did you work on it, but did you complete your homework? They meant, did you finish? Did you satisfy all the requirements of your homework? We know what the word complete means. If you went on vacation and somebody said, hey, how's your vacation? You say, it was great. It was a complete package. You know what is meant by that. That means that everything was included. The traveling expenses, the lodging, the food, I mean everything, the entertainment. You didn't have to leave the place. Or if you went on a cruise, you didn't have to, well, you couldn't leave the ship, but everything was included. Didn't cost you anything extra. The whole thing was complete. It was included. That's what that means. All inclusive. The word complete, it means the total package, to be full. The word replete. Now, we don't use that very often, but it means to be completely filled. And so the Apostle Paul says, concerning those that have trusted in Christ, ye are complete in Him. That's talking about in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the word complete, believe it or not, is only used 3 times in the Bible. It's used 1 time in the Old Testament and 2 times in the book of Colossians. It is used in the book of Leviticus chapter 23, verse number 15. It says, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. And what it's talking about over there, we're not going to go back, but it's talking about how to count 50 days up to the day of Pentecost. And there had to be 7 Sabbaths or 7 weeks. 7 times 7 is 49. Then it talks about then on the next day. And so it's talking about how to count those 50 days in order to have a complete 50 days from one feast to the other feast. And so we understand that. It'd be like us saying you got to complete January before you start February. You got to get all the days in. Then you got to, we understand what the word complete means. It's used here in Colossians 3 and 10, and ye are complete in Him. And it is used in Colossians chapter number 4 and verse number 12. And the Bible says over there, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And Epaphras was their pastor, or at least a minister in the church at Colossae. And he was praying for them and laboring for them. And his prayer for them is that they would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So that's what the pastor wanted for them, to be perfect and complete in all the will of God. And so I want to try to preach today on that subject, complete in Him. And I want us to understand what that means. What exactly does it mean to be complete in Him? And we're going to look at 3 things. Starting back in verse number 8. First thing I want to show you in order to understand what this means to be complete in Him, because it's a blessing to understand what the Bible is talking about when it says that we are complete in Him. But first of all, I want us to see the caution in verse number 8. Verse number 8 starts out and he says, beware. You know that's a caution. That's a warning coming up. And he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Here we find a caution, a warning to them concerning anything. Look what the Bible says in the last part of verse number 8. Anything that is not after Christ. Not after Christ. We are to beware of anything that is not after the Lord Jesus Christ. So he talks about that. That word beware, it means this. It means constantly looking out. You know, in this world, in this day and time we live, you have to constantly be looking out. You have to be aware. You have to have your eyes always open. That is incorporated in that word beware. To have your eyes always open. To be constantly looking out, because there are many things, there are many people, there are many philosophies out here in the world that would spoil you. That word spoil there in verse number 8, it means to rob you, to ruin you of your proper
place in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I mean by that, I'm not talking about your soul. Nobody, nothing can rob you of your soul. Nobody can cause you to lose your salvation. That's not what it's talking about. Nothing can cause you to lose your standing, but there are many things that can mess up your understanding. And if your understanding of where and who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, if your understanding is not right, then your life is not going to be right. Your joy is not going to be right. Your mission is not going to be right. Your testimony is not going to be right. And so Paul says you need to beware of some things. In Paul's day, as in our day, there were an abundance of what we might say religious tricksters. People who were deceivers. People who were preaching false doctrine and false things concerning what it really means to be saved. Now, a lot of the things that they were up against in Paul's day, there was a group or a movement, they were known as the Gnostics or Gnosticism. The word Gnosticism or Gnosis, it comes from the word knowledge. And the Gnostics were a group of teachers and people. They came along and they say, well, we know what the Bible says, but we know a little more. We have some understanding that you're not aware of. Sort of a secret group, you know. Yeah, you have a basic understanding, but we are enlightened above and beyond what you are. Say, well, we don't have the Gnostics in our day and time, but we have those that are like the Gnostics. Do you know that's the message of the Masonic Lodge? That's the message of the Shriners. You know, to get in the Masons, you gotta be invited in. And the whole appeal there is, you come in and now we're going to show you some things. We're going to teach you some secret things, some things you don't learn in church. You can only learn here. That's Gnosticism. And it's talking about things about God. And I'm not going to get into all about that and everything. But you need to know that you do not have to go to an outside group to learn something that you cannot learn in the Bible, to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything you need to know about Him is right here in God's Word. You don't have to go to any group. You don't have to go to any organization. You're not going to find an organization, a group, a secret society. You're not going to find more than you can find right here in God's Word. Paul said to the people in Colossae, he said, you need to beware. You need to beware of, look what it says, that any man would come along and spoil you through philosophy. There were the Greek philosophers of Paul's day. And especially in Greece and that society, it was a big thing for the men to get together and they put a great emphasis on wisdom. But listen, it didn't have to be godly wisdom. You know, Plato and Aristotle and all of those things, we still have that influence today. There are those, you know, that say, well, you don't have to go to the Middle East or China to find people that say, well, we're going to take a little bit from Christianity. We're going to take a little bit from Islam. We're going to take a little bit from the New Age. We're going to take a little bit from Buddhism and all of those things. And you know, we've got this philosophy on how y'all to live your life. You still have that today. I was talking to a college student this past week and they said, I regret taking a religious class. Don't go to a secular university and think you're going to find out, you know, take a Bible class at the college. What you're going to find out is very little Bible a lot of this philosophy of the world. It would take a little bit from here and a little bit from there. Paul says, beware of those things. These things, whether or not we realize it, they influence the way we think. They influence the way we understand the Word of God. There was the Gnostics. There was the philosophers of the day. There was the legalizers of the day. I've been preaching on that on Wednesday night. This group that come along, and some of them were Jews that had been converted. Some of them were Jews that thought they had been converted. And they come along and they said, yeah, faith is great, but you got to keep the law. You got to be circumcised. You got to follow the law of Moses. Those in our day and time, and I'm reading a book about chaplains during World War II. Brother Ben let me borrow it. And it's a pretty good book, but it's talking about all the chaplains. You know, the Catholic chaplains, the Jewish chaplains, the Protestant chaplains. And there's one chaplain during World War II, and he was very well liked. They said he was sort of like the Billy Graham of his day. I mean, he preached the gospel. And he was very well liked, and they wanted him to come not just the military men, but churches that were around in Australia and New Zealand and places like that. Wherever he was, they wanted to hear him preach. But they had problems with him in the military because he said, about the other Protestant chaplains, he said, I have nothing but disdain for those that preach that a man has to work his way to heaven. See, they were legalizers. They were saying, many of those chaplains, they were saying, yeah, you got to be baptized. You got to have your last rites. You got to have this and you got to have that. But when you study the Bible says, beware of being spoiled by those things. You know, I heard a song this past week. I can't remember exactly where I heard it. But it's a country music song. And I think it's Alan Jackson. And he says, where I come from, it's a lot of cornbread and chicken. You heard that song? Don't act like you hadn't heard that. And where I come from, a lot of front porch sitting. Where I come from, working hard to get to heaven. Working hard to get to heaven. Now, did the songwriter just come up with that because it rhymed with everything? No. That is a philosophy of our society. That is a tradition of men that has been handed down and handed down and handed down through those that are doing that very thing, working hard trying to get to heaven. That's just as false as somebody that stands in church and says you need to be baptized to get saved. It's all false philosophy. It's all the traditions, the rudiments. It's all things that man says. You know, there's a lot of Christians that are not very solid in the faith because they get their theology from country music rather than from the Word of God. You may or may not know this, but a lot of the cults are filled up with people that will testify and say, well, I grew up a Baptist. Spoiled. Paul said you can be spoiled. Spoiled means to be robbed, to be deceived. That word vain deceit there, what it means is this: empty, devoid of truth. You need to beware of things that are empty, that are vain, that have no truth in them. They are futile. They are fruitless. They are without effect. The word vain deceit is used of things that will not succeed. You working hard to get to heaven? Guess what? You can't work hard enough. You're not going to heaven. If that's what you're trying to do to get to heaven, be a good enough person, do this, do that, you don't get to heaven that way. You get to heaven by the grace of God. That's the only way. So Paul says, beware lest any man spoil you. And let me tell you, if you really study, you study Colossians, Galatians, you study the book of 1 John, you study the New Testament, they had a lot of false influence, just like we do. You look around and say, and I've had people ask me, where did all these religions come from? Where did all these different teachings come from? They've been around a long time. There's nothing new under the sun. It talks about it in the Word of God. It's refuted in the Word of God. Beware of anyone. Beware of anything. Look what it says in verse number 8. That is not after Christ. That does not line up with the Word of God. That's why we say over and over again, doesn't matter what I say, it matters what the Bible says. It matters what God says. So there's a warning, there's a caution in verse number 8. In verse number 9, there is the Lord Jesus Christ. It said in verse number 8 that we're to beware of anything that is not after Christ. Verse number 9, for in Him. All right, what about Him? Look what the Bible says. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, Gnosticism says, well, yes, Jesus was divine, but doesn't all mankind have a spark of divinity in them? You know, the New Age says that. Well, everybody has a spark of the divine in them. The Lord Jesus had divinity. He just had a little more than everybody else had. You know, that is not what the Bible teaches. Some talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and they say, well, He was a great teacher. He was no doubt a great prophet. Islam says that. Islam says that Jesus was a prophet. But they say Muhammad is a greater prophet and the last prophet and all like that. I mean, they talk about David. They talk about Moses. They talk about Abraham. But the Lord Jesus Christ did not have a little divinity. He was deity, which means all God. Look what the Bible says. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What does that mean? You cannot put any more God into the Lord Jesus Christ than was already there because He's all God. He's all God. All the fullness of the Father. All the fullness of the Spirit. All of the Son. He could not be any more God than He already is and was. Because He's all God. Not a part of God, not a little bit of God, not a little bit of the glory of God. He was all God. He is all God. That is what the Bible is saying. And how could anybody deny or see anything other than that? That is very plain words teaching who the Lord Jesus Christ is. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. John 1 and 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were created by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And he's called the Word there. And John 1, 14 said, and the Word, that's the one that made everything in the beginning, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God came down in human flesh, in a human body just like ours. That's what it says. Look what it says in verse 9. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God came in a body, born as a baby, raised as a child, grew into a man. God came in a body just like our body, a human body. You know, when I was little, and I think probably other children, maybe even adults as well, you think about Jesus, you think about Him being real big, like a giant, like bigger than everybody else, and like being on a throne in heaven, and He's just huge and everybody else is small. That is not how the Lord Jesus Christ is. In heaven today, he is there in a human glorified body, his resurrected body, which is human just like our body, without sin. That's the key. Without sin. When he went back to heaven in Acts chapter number 1, and they said, this same Jesus shall come again. He's going to come riding on a white horse. It's not going to be a giant white horse. It's going to be a horse, and he's going to be on it. And the saints are going to be on horses. And God was manifest in the flesh. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse number 16, what the Bible says. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, it's talking about the Lord Jesus again. Well, let's read verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That means everything is held together by him. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He made all things. All things were made by him and for him. Philippians chapter 2 verse 6 says he was in the form of God. 1 Timothy 3:16 says that God was manifest in the flesh. 1 John 1 and 1 says that which was from the beginning. The Bible teaches that all of God came to earth in the flesh. Now, I don't understand all of that. But the Bible never says that we're commanded to understand all that. We are commanded to believe that. I do believe that. I also believe as a human being, I cannot understand all that. Because you and I, although even if you're saved, you have the Spirit of God. I have the Lord Jesus Christ, but I am not Jesus Christ. I don't understand all that, but I believe all that. Because that is what the Bible teaches us, that God was manifested in the flesh. If you read the book of John, you cannot come away with any other idea, I don't think, than that the Lord Jesus Christ claimed to be God. All the I ams of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am in the Father and the Father in me. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. The works of the Father are the same works that I do. He said, if you don't believe me, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's pretty plain to me. I don't understand that, but I believe that. The Bible said, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And if you think about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, he healed the sick. He opened blinded eyes. He caused the deaf to be able to hear. Only God could do that. Man, in all of his knowledge and all of his technology and all of his medical abilities and everything, there's just things that we cannot do. I'm thankful for everything we can do. But you know as well as I do, healing is up to the Lord. But the Lord Jesus went further than that. He calmed the storm. Nobody can do that. Jesus did that. He fed the multitudes. Only the Lord can do that. You say, oh, that was a long time ago. Do you know he's still feeding the multitudes? He feeds the birds every day and the deer, they're not going down to Walmart and lining up and trying to buy bags of corn. He feeds everything from his hand. That's what the Bible says. He calmed the storm. He fed the multitudes. He raised the dead. And he died upon the cross and he defeated death. He rose from the dead on the third day. If God was on the earth, what would he be like? He'd be like the Lord Jesus Christ was. He'd be able to do anything. And the Lord Jesus could do anything. There's nothing that he could not do. And so we see the Lord Jesus Christ in verse number 9. Then the third thing, the thing I want us to really see and get a hold of today is in verse number 10. Look what the Bible says. And ye are complete in him. Now, let's read this real close. The last part of verse number 8. And not after Christ. It's talking about Christ. Verse number 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God was manifested in human flesh. Flesh without sin. Then notice that it's not a period there. But it goes on into verse number. Or it is a period in verse number 9. And it says, and ye are complete in him. That's talking about in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are complete in him. Now, what does that mean? I'm going to give you a few things this morning and I'll be done. We are complete in him concerning our salvation. Everything that comes under the heading of salvation is found in him, not outside of him. Here's another verse in the Bible that shows us you are not saved by works. All of our completeness, everything concerning our salvation is because of and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgiveness of sin. Well, I think most everybody would agree if you're going to be saved, if you're going to go to heaven, you got to have your sins forgiven. That is found in him, not in physical water. That's just a picture. Not in joining a church. A lot of people say, well, I was a member of so-and-so. How are you going to be made complete in the Lord Jesus Christ by joining something that is not perfect? Because there's no such thing as a perfect church. I told somebody a while back looking for a church, I said, when you start looking, just keep in mind, nobody's perfect. No church is perfect. Are you going to get complete in Christ by joining a bunch of imperfect? No. Our forgiveness of sin, justification before the Lord, just as if I'd never sinned. His mercy, redemption, the price paid for our sin, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, the keeping power of God, eternal life. All the things that pertain to our salvation are in him. Not in anything else. Not in some outward. Now, this is a whole other message. I'm not saying not to be a good person. I'm not saying there's not plenty of work to be done. But it's not to be saved. It's because you're saved. It's because of salvation. So many are putting the cart before the horse. They've got everything backwards. They're trying to get to a place where they can please the Lord. And then I'm going to go to church. No, you'll never get there. Then I'm going to do this. No, you'll never get there. You might as well just come as you are. Everything that has to do with our salvation is found in him. Ye are complete in him. Everything that has to do with our sanctification. Now that's a big word. It's a Bible word. It means this. It means to be set apart unto God. You know, a lot of people have the idea, well, I'm saved, I've got my ticket to heaven, I'm good to go. Do you know, after you're saved, the Lord wants you to follow him? Wants you to, your life to be set apart unto him? Jesus came to the disciples and he didn't say, do you believe in me? Yeah, well, you're good to go. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me after that. So many times in our day and time, we think that being a Christian is like getting good at golf or something. You know, I've got to have the latest gadget. I've got to follow the latest trend. I've got to be involved in a new book that's come off or a new Bible study that, you know, this is really the key. The key is in him. That's the key. To follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to be effective for him, is found in him, just to follow him. I have in my life down through the years, you know, we ought to be wanting to follow him. We ought to want to be better Christians. I've thought different times, boy, I've found the key. If I'll just
pray 30 minutes a day, and I'll read five chapters every day, and I'll wake up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and make sure I've got an hour before I go out into the day. That's the key. Well, what's going to happen when you don't do that? You're going to fail. You're going to say, well, I didn't do that this morning. Well, it's not in that. It's in Him. We are complete in Him. Here's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. He didn't say, and I'm all for praying every day and reading every day. I think you need to do that. You ought to do that. But nowhere did Jesus say to do that. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you abide in me, you'll be fruitful. That's the key. The key is to abide in Him. In the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in a thing. It's not in a how-to. It's not in a different set of rules to live by. Ye are complete in Him. Everything for your sanctification. Everything for your service to the Lord, personally or in the church. We live in a day and a time where churches try everything under the sun to get people in. That is no different than the world and their advertising to get people into their stores. We are not competing with Walmart. We are not competing with a restaurant chain. We should not be employing the same things that they are trying to use to get people in. But churches are constantly, how can we get bigger? How can we keep people? How can we make people more this and more that and all like that? You know what we need at Mount Lebanon? We need Him. That's what we need. We need to make sure the Lord Jesus Christ is front and center in all that we do. When we come to worship Him. We come in a spirit of worship. We come in a spirit of reverence that the Lord Jesus Christ is honored. Everything we need. Otherwise, how did churches ever exist for over 2,000 years without good advertising and a good PR campaign? They existed because they knew their life was in Him. In the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. That's what it's got to be all about. And it's never about, oh, we had this many or we had that many. You know, and we're bad for that. I mean, I got up and said, we don't have as many here as usual, but I only said it because Stephen pointed it out. So I blame him. You know, he was thinking about it. That's just how we are. I'll tell you what we really need to come together. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. We are complete in Him. It ought to bless us this morning. We don't need anything else. We just need Him. He has everything we need in our sojourn. Let me ask you a question this morning. If I ask the question this morning, if I had blank, I would be complete. How would you fill that in? If I had... You fill in the blank. If I had this, I would feel like I was complete. You know, if you went out here and you started asking people that, you'd get a lot of different answers. Some people think, you know, well, if I just had, if you're single, if I had a husband, if I had a wife, I believe I'd be complete. No, you wouldn't. You'd say, after that, well, if I just had children. Well, if I just had another child. See, in things in this life, none of the things of this world complete us. They're not made to. If I just made a little more money, or if I made a lot more money, I believe I'd be complete. I believe I'd be set. I'd be all right. I wouldn't want anything else. Yes, you would. It wouldn't take long. You'd spend that extra money and you'd be right back where you are now. And you'd say again, if I just had a little more. If I had my debt paid off, you'd spend it on something else. The Bible says that riches make themselves wings and they fly away. I mean, it can be here today and gone tomorrow. Money does not make people happy. If money made people happy, all the rich people would be happy. All the poor people would be unhappy.
But you know as well as I do, there's an abundance of poor people that are thoroughly happy, and there is an abundance of rich people that are thoroughly unhappy. If I just had this, I would be complete. If you set goals, if you're an athlete, when I played baseball, if I could just hit 15 home runs this year, man, if I could just have a 350 batting average, if I could just be on the starting lineup and I'd be complete. No, you wouldn't. What are you going to do when you break your arm? What made you complete is gone. Everything in this life is fleeting. It can all change. It can all be gone. Things can be broken and people in our lives pass away, or that which we thought would bring great happiness brings us great sadness instead. Everything changes. Everything has the potential to break our heart. Now all the blessings that you have, thank God for and enjoy them to the fullest. But that is not what ought to complete you and make you happy. It ought to be because it's from the Lord. It's a blessing from the Lord. But everything will change. Everything will fail us except the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5. Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord. I change not. Everything changes. He doesn't change. We are complete in Him. Our happiness, our inspiration, everything about us that is of the utmost importance is in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, if we could get a hold of that, it sure would help us. Because most of the time we're trying to fill in that blank with something that is just bound to disappoint. If I just had this, if I just whatever, I would be complete. If there's anything in there other than the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to be complete. You're not going to be full with that. But if you will ever get a hold of what it's saying in verse number 10, and ye are complete in Him. My, what a blessing that is. You know, you can be complete in Him. You can have joy even when heartache comes. When you're complete, when you realize that's where your joy comes from anyway. You're complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and all power. There's nothing in this universe that is above the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head of all things. You say, preacher, I really need this. Well, guess who's in control of that? He is. He's the head of all things. The Bible said all principality and all power. And it goes on down. There's a great many other things that are said. But the Bible is teaching here we are complete in Him. All that we have for that, all that we need is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Every good thing. Everything we need. Our sojourn, our service, all these things. I ask you this morning in closing, are you complete in Him? Now, if you're saved, you are. But did you know you were? Did you know this morning how complete that we are in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you are not saved this morning, that is your greatest need, is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the greatest need that you have. Many people, if I had this, or if I could do that, or I'll do that, then I'll... No, you need Him. Need Him above and beyond everything else. I'd like for us this morning to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and I do appreciate your good attention today, and I'm going to ask the ladies to come and Brother Nathan to get us a song of invitation this morning. Maybe you're here today. Maybe there's a great hole in your life. Man, I'm just not happy. I'm just not satisfied. I'm just trying to make this happen and make that happen. And boy, it'd help us today if we'd realize what that verse is saying, that we are complete in Him. Father.